Hi, this is Chaz Palminteri, and if you're thinking about getting your eyes done, the only person to see is Dr. Rothman of LASIK of Nevada. I flew all the way from New York to be here, and Dr. Rothman did my eyes. And all I could say is, it's a miracle. I could see. You see Dr. Rothman of LASIK of Nevada.
Living in Las Vegas starts now. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome from Las Vegas, Nevada, that groovy little podcast that gives you a true first-person look into what it's like to call Sin City your home, the Living in Las Vegas podcast. And now your host, a man who clearly needs some kind of introduction, otherwise you wouldn't know who he was. Mr. Scott Whitney.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to Living in Las Vegas on the Vegas Video Network. I am your humble host, Scott I am not Scott Whitney. I am usually the guy that you do not see, the man behind the camera. I am simply called he who is named Jacob. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. And I'll be remiss if I did not welcome our lovely, attractive, charming, and even handsome live studio audience. And you're saying, well, wait a minute, Jacob. You're up here and you're not back there. That means someone incredible, someone awesome, must be back behind the scenes making everything work. Stuff switching, there's lights on, there's cameras, and what's going on? How are you doing?
Hey, Jacob, it's me,
It Sam. Would be the one, the only slamming Sam Seegers on the TriCast. So you're saying, well, Jacob, yes, you are handsome. Why, thank you. But you're not Scott Whitney. Well, yes, I know. We all can't be perfect. And you're not Melissa either, and we can't be all that sexy. Well, what are you doing on the stage? Well, I'm just sitting in for a little bit. Scott and Melissa, out of town, handling a little bit of business. I'm just going to sit in for a little bit and run through a couple of quick things. Well, what are we going to talk about, Jacob? Great question. Let me answer that for you. We're going to be talking about how we do it here in our little Vegas Video Network family. How do we celebrate Cinco de Mayo? Live studio audience knows. And let me tell you, the answer is not all good. And we're going to be talking about who might be driving you home soon. Who? It's not the cars. They're not going to be driving you home, but maybe somebody else might be driving your car. Oh. And we're also going to be talking about a couple other things, a big moon and everything else. But first, before we get into Cinco de Mayo, I just want to touch on one thing really, really quick. I want to talk on what the Ivies call front loading, and that's Cuatro de Mayo, the 4th of May. Well, what happened on the 4th of May? Is that Mexican? No, not Mexican Independence Day at all. Sally and I, as you know, like to get out a little bit and hang around and party and whatnot. We did a little front loading. Took advice from the Avis. We actually went down to the Silverton for Cuatro de Mayo at the Mi Casa restaurant. Some of the members of the live studio audience know exactly where this is at. And they had, for Cuatro de Mayo, they had $2 tequila shots. Oh, yeah. $1 Negro Modelo and $1 Modelo. And on top of that, they also had a special that was $5 for 3 tacos and 2 Coronas. Almost felt like I was in Mexico with the exchange rate. I was like, $5, sign me up. I'll take 2. Here we go. So that was Cuatro de Mayo. And we're going to take a quick station ID. And when we come back, we're going to give you the rundown of the Cinco de Mayo and how we celebrate it on Vegas Video Network style. You're watching Living in Las Vegas on the Vegas Video Network. I'm Jacob Cannon. We'll be right back.
You know, one of the things I like best about the Vegas Video Network are the people. There are no divas here. Everyone is exactly the same off camera as they are on.
Hey, Os, what's Cocktail of the Week this week?
You know what? I'll let you know what it is when it's time for you to know what it is. Why don't you get off the stage and get back in your production hole? Oh, my God. You know what? And tell cheap-ass Whitney to get us some decent brand liquor. This hobo off-wrap crap ain't cutting it. God, idiots.
Totally.
There's several different ways to get a hold of us here at the Vegas Video Network. Of course, we've got email. The email address, why do you ask? It's onairq@livinginlv.com. It's onairq@livinginlv.com. We also have live chat, and a big welcome to the live chat. Doug, we see you in there. So do we see Sally and Joe Schmo and everybody else. VegasVideoNetwork.com. Just hit the live button, hop in the live chat. If you got something to say, we'll see if we can catch up on it. And if you want to be adopted, oh, well, before you be adopted, you got to tweet us. That's Vegas Video Network, NTWRK, Vegas Video Network, NTWRK. Why no vowels? We can't afford them. And although we can't afford them, we do like when Vanna White turns those letters, don't we? I do. If you want to be adopted, you can hit us up. Friends@livinginlv.com. It's friends@livinginlv.com. Like our adopted Russian son, Mr. Stewart, up here. Oh, he who brings vodka and chocolate and everything else from Russia, with love, friends in Living LV. All right, so we talked about front loading and the Cuatro de Mayo. Well, what did you guys do for Cinco de Mayo, you asked, Jacob? Well, we got together. We got together. We came together as a family, as a community, and we wanted to celebrate. Just want to celebrate another day of living. Just want to celebrate another day of life. At Cinco de Mayo, well, where'd we go? We went, if you watch the show, you know, we went to Ricardo's off of Flamingo and Decatur, I believe. The Corona's slowly eroding my brain. We went to Flamingo and Decatur, down to Ricardo's, and met up down there. And it was a very spur-of-the-moment type meetup. I think it happened last Tuesday after living in Las Vegas. Melissa and people here were talking, and we were talking about, we need to get together. We need to kind of hang out and assemble, and what better way to do it, or what day to do it, than Cinco de Mayo. So we organized it real quick. And there's part of the happiest group of people I think I've ever seen. We got Monsignor Scott Whitney over there on the left, Pimpin' Wayne on the right, his lovely wife Hannah. Across the table, we've got Mr. Mark Kingsbury, a Vegas Video Network supporter. Beside Mark Kingsbury, we have the lovely Naughty Jelly Sweet, Miss Melissa Whitney. Across the table, people you may not know. I'll tell a quick story. That gentleman right there, Wade Roberts, helped build the Vegas Video Network along with Rip Ripito. Next to him is his lovely wife. Coming back across the table, we have Miss Tamala. Coming back across the table, we've got Mr. Bob Scott online. Hello, Bob Scott. We know you're going to watch the show. And beside Mr. Bob Scott, we have David and Alicia Ivey, host of Pub Crawl. Coming back, we got Mr. Brad back there in the corner. And in the very, very, very back, where the true players are at, we've got Slammin' Sam Seegers and Mr. Jacob Cannon. So that's what we did for a big, bad Cinco de Mayo. We went down and had some adult beverages, some tequila, some cocktails, some food and some drink, and we sat around and we enjoyed each other's company, and we talked about future things to come. So that's what we did for a Cinco de Mayo. Sam, do we have the picture of some of the gentlemen there at Cinco de Mayo as well? Can we pop that up? And we just weren't the only ones there. I mean, Cinco de Mayo, you got a ton of people out celebrating their Mexican pride and heritage and everything else. And one thing that it's a little mystifying about Cinco de Mayo, you may think it means Mexican Independence Day. Wrong. It is not. It's actually a Mexican Pride or a Mexican Heritage Day. Mexican Independence Day is actually celebrated September 16th. So it wasn't Cinco de Mayo for independence. It's just Cinco de Mayo for Pride. And we are proud to be a part of the Vegas Radio Network and our growing, expanding family. Now, we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about something else that happened on Cinco de Mayo, a little bit of a rare occurrence. And no, I'm not talking about me having an adult beverage. Although I heard that went on after the Ricardo thing. We're going to talk about something else that happened on Cinco de Mayo. You're watching and living in Las Vegas on the Vegas Video Network. We'll be right back.
Traditional media believes that after about 3 minutes, you'll tune out. Most Vegas media companies think if it doesn't jiggle, you won't tune in. At the Vegas Video Network, we think both are wrong. The Vegas Video Network is the first and only live online broadcast network that specializes in insider news and expert views about Vegas. We combine great storytelling with the ability to watch when and where you want, on your computer, mobile device, or television. Discover the real Las Vegas. Visit VegasVideoNetwork.com.
Welcome back to the Vegas Video Network. Living in Las Vegas, I'm your humble host, Jacob Cannon. Welcome on. Something else that happened on Cinco de Mayo that is unique and kind of maybe rare is we had this super big, super bright full moon once in, I forget ever how many years, a billion years, whatever. The moon comes super close to Earth and it shines super bright like that. It almost looks like a miniature sun. Is what it was on Cinco de Mayo. That actually happened while we were at Ricardo's, and my wife Sally snuck out and took a couple of photos of that. New moon, big, bright, super futuristic type thing. Speaking of futuristic, I want to touch on something that I just learned about today. I knew it was in the testing phase, but I think this announcement just kind of came out today. Nevada has become the first state to allow a certain company, starts with a letter G, I'm not going to say the name, yes I am, Google, to test autonomous or basically driverless cars in this state. They have issued Google a license to test these cars in the state of Nevada. And I think this is a really interesting, kind of unique, but at the same time a bit of a strange type of story. Why Nevada is allowing Google to do this, and kind of why Google is choosing to do this as well. So I don't know what all the rules and regulations are. Obviously, this is a very bleeding-edge technology type thing and very advanced, but I kind of want to know what some of the rules and regulations will be to allow this to happen. I know that there has to be a driver actually behind the wheel of the car. You're not just going to pass a car with nobody in it with a set of coordinates programmed in. But there actually has to be someone behind the car. And if you tap your foot on the brake or if you actually turn the steering wheel a little bit one way or the other, then control then defaults back to the driver. But I think it's extremely interesting and kind of fun that Nevada has passed this and Google has this kind of bleeding edge technology. Sam, I'd like to kind of get your thoughts on that and what do you think about this new tech coming out?
Well, I tell you what, Jacob, I have always been a person who liked to live close to work, drive very little. I had one automobile for 16 years and had 60,000 miles on it. So I don't do a lot of driving, but if I did, and I had a car that could get me there, I would live way far away and use all that time in the car to like knit a sweater or read a book or something like that, right? So it could be cool depending on what Google does. So back to you, Jacob.
And coming up, Sam's knitted sweaters or shirts, I'll be first in line. Sam is 36 in the arm, just in case you're wondering. I think this is a kind of a neat technology. It is very cutting edge and very bleeding edge, but at the same time, I think it rises up a ton of legal questions as well. If there's an accident, who's going to be at fault? There is Governor Sandoval there testing out the driverless car. I think that photo was taken sometime last year. If there's an accident, Who's going to be at fault? You, Or will you say, well, the car didn't see it, it was on autopilot? You know, I'm sure there's going to have to be some type of technology to somehow backtrack who was actually in control of the vehicle at a certain time. I think that's going to be paramount. Also, an issue is certain people, not going to say who, sometimes you go out for an adult beverage or two or three, and you get behind the wheel. Now, all of a sudden, just because you have an autonomous car or have an autonomous car or a driverless vehicle, and you get behind the wheel, and you actually have to take control of the vehicle, but you're intoxicated, then are you legally liable? Or can you even be behind the wheel while you're intoxicated? Can the police pull you over for suspicion of intoxication? I got no clue. It's going to be an interesting set of challenges that arise out of this new technology, but it's going to be exciting. We're going to take a short station ID. When we come back, I'm going to talk about a couple more of the ideas behind the driverless car, the reason why it's happened, and just want to let you know you're watching Living in Las Vegas on the Vegas Video Network. Be right back.
This is David Ivey from Pub Crawl. It's funny because this is David from... You should just leave it on. Hi, I'm David Ivey from Pub Crawl, and you're watching the Vegas Video Network. And scene.
And scene, Mr. Ivey. Live studio audience actually just mentioned they're already out there that he saw one last week. Is that right? On the Strip last week. So obviously the technology is extremely advanced. You can drive the Las Vegas Strip. You can obviously navigate your red lights, green lights, your stop signs, your yields, and everything else. But it's going to be really interesting to see how this technology plays out and the laws and the litigation we're going to have surrounding this technology. But I also think it's kind of cool that Google chose Nevada, or Nevada petitioned Google, or however it worked, that we are on this cutting edge. You know, people talk about a new industry in Nevada and casinos have to go and we have to find something new. Well, this could be some of the new technology that Nevada could be a hotbed or a test bed for. So I, for one, welcome it. I was reading through and I got a couple of stats here. I'm just going to have to read these. I apologize. Don't have memorized. But 52 minutes per day is an average daily commute. This new technology will help eliminate or reduce the amount of traffic jams, provided the more autonomous or driverless vehicles that you have out on the road. And then driving accidents are the number one cause of death in young people. And living in this connected world that we live in, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, XYZ, ABC, all coming at you at blazing light speed, sometimes it's difficult not to be distracted by all of the things surrounding us and all of the technology that we have at our beck and call. It's sometimes difficult not to be distracted. So this new technology could help maybe save lives. An average of about 4 billion hours commuting across the entire United States. 4 billion with a B hours of commuting. I mean, that's a lot of driving. And I think this new technology may help us increase what I think some people don't want to see increase, and that's urban sprawl. You know, we have a development here in Las Vegas out in the Northwest that never was really developed. Coyote Springs, I think it was called, right? Up in the very far Northwest, Coyote Springs, Coyote, something up in the north. I think it was Coyote Springs. In the very, very far Northwest, and a bunch of people, it never really got off the ground. A bunch of people said, oh, I'll never live that far. You know, it's a 45, 50-minute drive to get down to the Strip or whatever. Well, now if you have basically a chauffeured ride to get back and forth, would you consider living out there? Maybe people will live further away from where they work, actually increasing their commute time if they are less stressed and worry less about having to drive their vehicle. And there is a recent study that said that your work commute increases your stress load and it's bad for your health. I think we got a shot of that there. longer commutes could be bad for your health. You know, 4,200 residents down in Dallas-Fort Worth, and they looked at how it increased, you know, secondary behavior and rage and higher blood pressure and everything else. And living in Las Vegas, I can tell you that I might be more comfortable with a driverless car or someone not in control of their car, because certain people here can be extremely aggressive when they drive. And it can raise your stress level, and you could get higher blood pressure and everything else. So it's going to be extremely, extremely interesting to see how this new technology plays out moving forward. I want to talk about one more quick thing. I know we're running a little short on time, but I want to talk about one more quick thing. And just excuse me here for one second. I'm just going to reach over and grab this. It is something that actually happened last week. Was Goodbye Sahara, Hello SLS Las Vegas. That is talking about how SLS Properties is now going to be remaking the Sahara. Basically, they've got around $300 million, I believe was the number, to basically turn the Sahara inside out, upside down, and renovate it and make it a extremely nice hotel on the inside. The Sahara is one of the icons, I think I would say, of the Las Vegas Strip, especially of the northern end of the Strip, besides the Stratosphere. Sahara. I don't know exactly how long it's been around, 50s, I think, maybe, ish, maybe the 50s or so. Sahara's been around, and it closed its doors, I believe it was last year? And they had a big, huge auction. We actually have a couple things in the studio from that auction, where they auctioned off pretty much everything, you know, lamps, couches, tables, chairs, beds, you name it. I think they tried to auction it off to help offset some of the cost. And now SLS says they've got $300 million. They're going to renovate, rejuvenate, and inject some much-needed cash, some action, and create some more jobs here in Las Vegas, which is really what we all need. And that's going to wrap it up for this extremely short edition for Living in Las Vegas. Again, if you want to send us a quick email for a future show, it's onairq@livinginlv.com. Onairq@livinginlv.com. If you want to send us a tweet, you can do it at Vegas Video Network NTWRK. It's Vegas Video Network NTWRK. No vowels. We can't afford them, but we do like when Vat on White turns them, sure enough. And if you want to be adopted, you can email us friends@livinginlv.com. It's friends@livinginlv.com. Send your photo up here with Mr. Stewart, who brings vodka, chocolate, and all things yummy from Russia with love. And then you miss the show. So what? Catch it on iTunes, YouTube, Roku, KSHP, AM 1400, Saturdays from noon till about 4-ish. We're everywhere. We're everywhere you need to be. Now, I'll be remiss if I did not thank one more time the amazing live studio audience. If I did not thank she who is slamming Sam Seegers on the TriCaster. And, of course, the live chat. Live chat. And if you bring me up to camera one, Miss Sam, we are going to slide out of this Living in Las Vegas. We'd like to thank you for tuning in. Tune in next week, where either I have completely and totally replaced the Whitneys, or they might be back. You're watching Living in Las Vegas on the Vegas Video Network. We'll see you next week.